But first, we're going to jump into our top story, which is going to bring us Alan Adler and talking points around trailers after they hit an all-time high, despite the freight recession starting to come down now. Alan, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, good morning. We're saying trucks there, but we mean trailers, of course. This is interesting because you see a number like 38% drop, and it's like, oh no, the bottom's falling out of things. I think you got to keep everything in perspective here because we have watched now both with tractors and trailers, kind of a return to normalcy. When I say normalcy, I'm talking about kind of pre-pandemic, maybe 2018 comparisons. And we're starting to see that happen now with trailers. We've had a couple of months here in September and October. We had, you know, pretty good numbers, like 30,000 orders placed and things like that. And then you had a pretty big drop off here in for November. Basically, this was kind of expected. They usually start to tail off a little bit at the end of the year. But what we did see this time that was interesting is that with this 38% fall, 21,000 roughly orders in November, that's still 7% above the average for 2023. And it was, you know, 45% higher a year ago in November. But we were just getting back from, you know, being able to get products again after so much supply chain disruption and the pandemic and so forth. So now you're starting to see things come back to sort of a normal level. We do see, you know, the opportunity for some growth next year, depending, you know, on the economy and such. But we're still looking at, you know, really low freight rates and things that we talk about in other segments. All of that kind of does trickle down to the ordering. And when the fleets don't have as much money to spend, they don't order as much.
So, Alan, of course, you mentioned the backlogs, which we knew were just pretty tight pretty much through all of 2023. Was that kind of this like fake insulation, I guess I would almost call it, for some of the trailer manufacturers? And obviously, we know that they've still seen a pretty decent performance on their financial results. Are we expecting to see now a decline headed into maybe full year 2023 results into the first two quarters of 2024?
Well, I don't know that it can predict out there. I think what you have to watch for now, though, like I said, is a return to kind of normal ordering patterns. But you've got a couple of things going on as well, like with Wabash, which is the only publicly traded trailer maker. You know, they're looking at longer term agreements and, you know, bigger deals like with J.B. Hunt and things like that. They've got another deal with, you know, Loadsmith for, you know, kind of trailer pooling. And, you know, I think the industry itself might be changing a little bit. Now, Wabash, interestingly enough, you know, added basically capacity for 5,000 dry vans when they closed their reefer plant and reworked it to do dry vans. Probably aren't going to need as many dry vans right away, so they may have a little bit of a capacity overhang there. But the industry itself is probably reacting to the same things that we're seeing on tonnage, which was down. We kind of stuck that in yesterday's story. You know, the truck tonnage was down about 5%, you know, without any kind of seasonal adjustment in November. So all of these numbers tend to track each other a little bit, Kaylee.
And jumping into that a little bit more, Alan, we're looking at some of those ATA numbers. We're going to be some of the expectations that are being set going into 2024 with this latest release.
Well, I think Bob Costello says, you know, every time he's the chief economist there, and I know you're very familiar with Bob, every time you get a good month, you're followed kind of by a bad month. It's really hard to figure out just, you know, what's happening. And I think there is a lot of uncertainty. I mean, the freight market is still kind of chugging along the bottom. I think, you know, Craig Fuller has said, you know, you could have a recovery in 2024. And in fact, you could. The thing that, you know, for example, with the equipment side, though, is, you know, you could see more tractors ordered as a pull ahead in 2024 towards some of these emission changes that are coming. That doesn't necessarily affect the trailer business, but as you get to more of these trailer pools and you know, power only units and things like that, you might see a reasonably good market for trailers. It's just really hard to tell because, as I say, they're kind of bouncing all over the place.
So, Alan, let's go ahead and move on to our second topic of discussion for the day. Yesterday, or Monday, brought us the sentencing of Trevor Milton, and we officially have an end to that saga, coming down with a lighter sentence than what was typically commuted for the kind of white-collar fraud, but definitely more than him and his attorneys were hoping for. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, and I'd have to challenge the idea that we're done with this because we're really not. I mean, you know, we're done with the actual sentencing. And yes, he did get less than the government wanted. They wanted 11 years. Of course, his attorneys wanted probation. So, you know, four comes between zero and 11. But I think maybe on the lighter side. The judge in the case, Kaylee, did not accept the comparison between Trevor Milton and Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos. He did not believe that what Trevor did, and he did, you know, take him to task for lying to people, but he did not believe that there was any, you know, harm that, you know, could have affected somebody, you know, physically the way maybe the blood testing scandal at Theranos could have. And so he rejected that. He also said that he felt like Trevor Milton had a good network. You know, his family was in court, you know, with him, his wife was there and so forth. And I think he looked at stability, and I think he felt like maybe there was some there. Now, there's a lot of outrage out there because Trevor Milton is still very, very rich. He's not a billionaire like he once was, but he still has ample resources. And the fine that was levied against him of $1 million was, again, less than the government wanted. They asked for $5 million. But we still have to get through the whole question of restitution of investors and how will that play out over the next, call it 30 to 90 days. So we'll see how much of Trevor's money, and we don't know precisely what he's got, but we'll see how much of that actually stays with him or gets, you know, somehow distributed elsewise. He's also likely to, the judge said he agreed with forfeiting a ranch in Utah that was part of the trial. This was something that Trevor offered the owner Nicholas stock options for. And ultimately, those options ended up being worth much of anything. And so there's a question there outside court. Milton said he doesn't know enough about that particular case. He's going to leave that to people, as he put it, with a higher pay grade. But I do think that, you know, he said he thinks they'll win an appeal of the sentence, which right now he has to serve 85% of the 4 years, which actually he received 3 4-year sentences, but they're being assigned concurrently. The judge, interestingly enough, did not ask for a specific surrender date, meaning that Milton is still out free on a $100 million bond right now.
So, Alan, of course, Nikola, the company coming out with a statement saying Milton has had no direct impact on Nikola since September of 2020, and they're glad to continue to distance themselves from this. Any other nuggets of wisdom in their statement after the case?
Well, I think that, you know, there is some level of closure, but again, it's not complete. You know, Nikola will never be able to probably get away entirely from Trevor Milton. But I do think that the idea, you know, their statement said, you know, he hasn't worked here since September of 2020. And I think that's a fair comment. You know, there's some sadness around all of this, I think, even within Nikola, because Trevor was a charismatic leader. And he was somebody who, you know, he did start the company. You know, he did a lot of things that, you know, obviously didn't pale well with the law, and I'm not defending anything here, but simply to say that he was a company founder. The company is still alive. It may be hanging on, which it is. But interestingly enough, this morning they announced an agreement with First Element Fuel out in California. Interestingly enough, run by another former GM person, like Steve Gursky, the CEO, is at Nikola. You know, where they'll be able to use First Element's Class 8 fueling hydrogen station for their trucks. So, you know, I think they're continuing to push ahead. And we're going to have an opportunity to talk to Steve Gursky here before the end of the year. So we'll get caught up on some of that, too. I do think they're trying their best not just to distance themselves from Milton, but to just kind of do the things they've got to do every day. You know, and you wonder kind of what you stare at the ceiling thinking about what I've got to work on tomorrow, because there's so many things happening that, you know, Nikola needs to be attending to.
Alan, sounds like the end of a chapter as another one opens and this saga continues. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be sure to check in with you with all the updates. I'm sure that will be happening in the next year.
Okay, thanks, guys, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Alan. Alan, we'll be back with Truck Tech later on in our show today as well, pulling double duty today. Right now, we're going to go on over to The Wall. Tony Mulvey and Donnie Gilbert are here with your first carrier update.